Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right, this may have been discussed already, and if it has, forgive me for not having made note of who said what. I haven't read anything about it, so I haven't heard it on our other shows, but they probably have because our guys talk about every damn thing there is. But produce, I think, is still in there. And I know the big head of producer will be here soon. I want to get him to.
I am here.
Possibly I am. Have you discussed the fact that, as sad as it may be, either the Louisville football team or the other way around, Lamar got the Louisville football team all sick on his visit here?
I never thought about that. That makes a lot of sense.
He is really sick right now. He may miss another week. And if you're hearing, the whole thing is going through the team. And I'm sure all the players wanted to meet him and say hello and shake his hand and pat him on the back and be around him as much as possible. That'd be just a sad, tragic irony if that were what happened. He was so happy to be here. It was such a beautiful day. But think about it, right? It happened the week right before he missed the next game.
Yeah,
he played Thursday night. He got sick that week. He missed the next game, and he's still out. And this thing is going rampant through the Louisville team. And they may very well have issues coming Saturday. I mean, it still sounds like it's running its course. And I thought about that last night. I hate to say it, because nobody has more affection and respect for Lamar than I do. I mean, I love the guy. But it's more likely he got them infected than they got him infected. I mean, you would just think, right? I mean,
right.
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But I know the illness had not yet started spreading on the team at that point. So it would be more likely that, you know, he came in. He was probably run down a bit. I mean, they played that Thursday night. They flew in. It was, you know, not great weather here in town at that time. And, you know, he probably got sick and may very well have spread it to the team.
No, so, this is entirely possible, and I never even thought about that.
Oh, okay. I assumed everybody was talking about it because it makes me sad, but it's possible. I mean, I don't know if there's any way of knowing, and more importantly, what would you want to know? What are you going to do, call him and tell him? And Lamar, you know, I'm selling
you got us all sick, bro. We're taking the eight back down.
But it's possible. I mean, because if whatever he's got, which they swear is not COVID, is strong enough that it may keep him out 2 weeks. I mean, he missed last week's game, and there's still, right now, it's doubtful for him this week. It's questionable at the very least. And so he may miss another game. And that means it's got to be something pretty you know, potent. And if that's the case, that could explain what's running rampant through the team here. So I wish we had the press media day today. I'd love to ask Satterfield that, although that would be an awkward question.
Ask him yesterday. Well, he did bring it up yesterday. Would you like me to pull that sound?
Well, yeah, but he didn't bring up Lamar's part of it.
No, he didn't bring up the Lamar part of it.
No, but that's fine, yeah, because it's going through the team, and he's just hoping. He says he's hoping it's on the back end. Doesn't that sound exactly like what they're saying about Lamar? Gee, they're hoping he's ready to go Sunday. Well, they're hoping these guys are 100% Saturday, and that's really be a shame. I mean, you get this game once a year, and this game is really you know what this game can be. You know, it's an important game to both teams, and they both are going to bowl games, and you know, it's a lot of interest in it beyond just the normal. And if one of the teams is not at full strength, you hate to see that. So, but here's what Coach had to say yesterday, or on Monday. Well, it was yesterday, Monday about it, yeah.
We got through that game last week. We had several that were out, sick and or playing sick, and we came in Sunday. We had some more guys that popped up. Fortunately, as Sunday, so those guys hopefully will be ready to go for practice tomorrow. You kind of got your fingers crossed a little bit right now because we've had some of this sickness, and I don't think it's going away. It's a matter of, can we keep our guys healthy over the next 4 or 5 days before we get out there and play on Saturday. So, Sunday we were missing a few guys, but they'll be back tomorrow. So we'll see. I think only maybe one guy, maybe two came in this morning. So, hopefully we're on the back end of it. We'll obviously know more as we get through the end of the week. But we kind of got our fingers crossed and, wearing some masks around the building and washing our hands really good. So hopefully we don't spread anymore.
I mean, right? That sounds exactly like Lamar's situation. He's, they're hoping, and they're he may be ready Sunday. They're not sure, but that would be a terrible shame if some of their key players are not 100%. I mean, I would say the same thing if it was from Kentucky side. I really would. That's not the way you want to win. You don't want to back your way into a win. So we'll see how it plays out. But by the way, if you're wondering why I'm here today, it's because I'm not here tomorrow. I was supposed to be here tomorrow and then Friday, but I'm going to be here instead today, and tomorrow I'll be out. And then Thursday, I think we can announce this. I don't know if the big-headed producer is there. I'm pretty jazzed up about this, actually. Because I'm not able to go to the Bahamas, I will do the post-game show for Louisville's game on Thursday. So if you got some comments or you want to ask some questions or whatever it may be, I will be at your beck and call. I'll be Johnny on the spot. Yes, that is Thanksgiving night, and yes, I will be working for you. It's all for you. That's what we do here at the V-Show. So I'm looking forward to that. And then maybe Saturday. I'm not sure. Saturday's such a cram-jam day. I'm not sure what the hell we're doing, to be honest with you. I'll still wait to hear from people higher up the food chain than me. But, the football game's going on, and I don't know what time they're playing yet because obviously we don't know if they're going to win on Thursday or not. And so we'll see how that plays out. And I'm wondering, by the way, does anybody know this? Save me the trouble. I'm sure there's a way to look it up online. But I know that they're playing a late game on Thanksgiving night. It's 9:30, I think. Isn't that right? I think it's a 9:30 tip. My understanding is that the Saturday game, the TV window, they're not even sure what's going to air yet, because I think if they don't win, I'm looking at this, and my guess would be they're going to want an early window, because I don't think they're going to want to compete with the more marquee football games later in the day. So my guess might be the championship game would be the first game, and they'll play the consolation game second, because this way they can have a definitive time for the tip for the championship game, because I don't think the consolation game is going to be on the same network, right? Because there's so much college football. I think the championship game might be on some broadcast thing, and the consolation game might be on internet only. They both might be on internet only. I don't know. Last I looked, they weren't sure. So I don't know. We'll see. So I don't know what's going to happen Saturday, whether, who's going to do it or where or when or with who. But I'm at your beck and call if you need me. But Thursday, me and the big-headed producer will be dragging ourselves away from a large family-related turkey dinner to go and talk about Louisville basketball with you. That's what we do here. Yes, I'm patting myself on the back. No, not true. I'm actually looking forward to it, since I can't go down and be in my usual perch for the analyst. I can be an analyst of sorts after the game. So we'll do that on Thursday. But that's why the week is a little mumbo-jumboed up. So I'm here today. I was here yesterday. I'll be here Friday for Fast Break Friday with Mike. And then the big-headed producer and I will do the Thursday post-game show. Looking forward to that. And so we'll have a lot. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about, because that game is going to elicit a lot of comments one way or another. And if they go down and fall on their face, a lot of the people who have been, naysayers are going to stand up and say, see, I told you they're not very good and blah, blah, blah. And if they come back and win that game, then the other people will say, see, you got to let the cake bake. You just don't know. And we'll see how they play. More importantly, we'll see how they play. So. Okay, so now the big-headed producer comes in, and as is our wont, what we've been doing lately is we do the opening of the show twice, basically, one for produce and once for you. So, but I brought up something at the top, and then we'll get into our schedule for the rest of the week, because I want to confirm it with you. I said, nobody's talked about this. I asked produce. He said nobody's talked about it. And so isn't it sadly possibly ironic that this illness that's running rampant through the Louisville football team might have been brought here? The cause of it may be Lamar Jackson? I mean,
is this true?
I don't know. My point is it's absolutely logical. He came here after that Thursday game, Saturday. He missed last week's game. And there's a chance he's going to miss this week's game. So whatever he's got is pretty potent. And that's exactly the timeline for the illness for Louisville that's running through the team. And I'm sure when he was here, all the players wanted to go say hello and shake his hand and say hi. And, you know, who wouldn't? I would have. And you know, one guy gets it and then he gets her. And now you heard on Monday's presser, yesterday's presser, Coach Satterfield talking about this something running through the team. And it's pretty potent. And, you know, there's a bunch of guys that were less than 100% last week. And it's still kind of, and he's hoping it's on the tail end. That's exactly what they're saying about Lamar. They're hoping it's on the tail end. He's doubtful, I guess, or questionable at the best for Sunday. He may miss again. And that's what's going on with this team. And I was just saying how sadly ironic that would be. What was a beautiful day. Everybody loved it so much. He's so adored, and he was great and charming, and everybody had such a good time. And now if that winds up being the catalyst for Louisville being less than 100% for this Kentucky game, that's people going to be selling his jersey. Hey, you know what, Lamar, we've been thinking about? You're not my hero after all. But, I mean, it's not illogical, right? I mean, I'm not going to go start running around and doing, you know, saliva tests on these guys to compare it, but it's not at all. That's how you get these things are passed, is when there's close contact. And he's such a nice guy. I'm sure every single person that came up to him, he shook their hand and said hello, and that people, you know, wanted to get as close to him as you can. I mean, he's royalty around here. And he's got it bad. Whatever he's got is bad. And the team's got something going through it pretty bad. And so it's,
You don't think it's Rona, do you?
No, I know. I think they would be. I think the league would find the crap out of them if it was Rona and they didn't admit it. So I don't think anybody's taking a chance with that. I mean, so no, I don't think it's Rona. I think there's something going around.
But man, that is
right. It's possible that the other way to look at it is that they could be mad. The Ravens fans are probably saying it's the other way around. Sure, he went back to that school and they all got him sick. The team's sick and gave it to him. But it seems much more likely that he would have brought it here. I would think. I mean, because I don't think that the team was sick at that point. They weren't talking about any illness.
Well, this was Coach Satterfield yesterday on the team.
I know we played it already.
Oh, you played it already?
Yeah.
Oh, well, damn it.
So, I mean, so, you know, he talked about it's bad. He said it's very bad. And he said, well, hopefully we're at the tail end of it. And, you know, but it's a shame. I would say, and I said this earlier, and I would say it, and I mean it, I would say the same thing if it were for Kentucky. You don't want to go into a game, you know, you want to win the game. And if you don't want to win back into a win with somebody, if they're not at 100%, I would say that for either team. Let's go see these teams at their best and see what happens and have a great game. That's what I'm hoping for. And I don't know if he's so bad. I mean, Lamar's a gamer. That dude will play. And if he sat out last week, and it's very possible could sit out again this week, he's on my fantasy team, so I'm tracking it closely, believe me. I'm wondering. You know, nobody's brought that up, but it would make sense, wouldn't it? I mean, shook hands with. I mean, now the other way, I guess you could, if you want to be the other way, the contrarian, you could say, well, whoever the one guy on Louisville's team who was sick probably met Lamar, and maybe he gave it to him just like he gave it to all his teammates, and now they're spreading it among themselves. So maybe he didn't necessarily bring it here, but. I don't know. It just seems to me, it seems more logical that he would have brought it because everybody and their brother wanted to meet him. And that's why it spread so quickly, because he was shaking hands with everybody. That's how, you know, again, if you go back to the R number that we learned about during the COVID, that's how the things spread. You know, if one guy gets something that's contagious and gives it, if it's an R number of three, he gives it to three people and those three people give it to three more and so on. And, you know, before you very long, you're up literally in the thousands. So this obviously, when you're in a team situation like this, spread pretty quickly. So I hope it doesn't turn into being a factor. I mean, certainly it's not. I don't mean to be crass to the, you know, the backup players, but I certainly hope it's not any of the frontline, quote-unquote, star players. That would be terrible to go into a game like this with your best players.
There was talk, what was it, a year? Was it last year, actually, that there was a stomach flu going around U of L? I mean, that was kind of a, I don't want to say excuse, but it was kind of something that got bantered around that it was last year.
They didn't play last year, so, you know.
Or the year before. Sorry, the last meeting. Yeah, you're right. Oh, you're right.
So, I don't know. It could have been. Who knows? I mean, this is the time of year when things start kicking in. So, it's, you know, that's the weather starts changing and people start getting sick. So, anyway. Whatever, we'll never know, but it crossed my mind that's possible. It's a very distinct possibility. I mean, this is what it says about Lamar today, since, as I said, my first place Empire Electrons, by the way, get charged up. beat the second place team Sunday, and now I'm in sole possession of first place as we go into the last 3 weeks of the regular season. Whew, very exciting. So
impressive.
Yeah, I'm going to hang a banner if we could win a regular season championship. But let me see if I can find what it says about.
I lost a biscuit.
Oh, well, at least lost to one of the experts.
Although he put up a league high 154, so there was nothing.
I had 145. I had 145, so not a bad game, right?
That's pretty good.
Some guy in our league went out of his mind. Thank goodness for me. It was against the second place team. The guy who played the second place team dropped a cool 170 on him. Hello. Good luck with that, pal. All right, but here's my roster, and on it, it tells you about the various players. So here's what it says about Lamar for today. Lamar, it says he is questionable for Sunday. Coach John Harbaugh said Jackson is feeling better, but he was held out of Sunday's game due to a non-COVID illness. The team's medical staff hasn't yet identified the nature of the ailment. They said he's hopeful he'll be able to participate in today's walkthrough. It's not clear whether he'll be able to play against the Browns, but he is beginning to feel a little better. So that's good, but he's still listed not as doubtful, but questionable. So that's actually an upgrade. He was listed as doubtful for last week before he was ruled out. So we'll see. So maybe Louisville will be at full strength. I don't know. Anyway, I was telling the peoples while we're here, and you can confirm for me possibly, we are going to be here, I'm pretty jazzed up about this, for the post game on Thursday for Louisville's basketball game. That's a 9:30 tip, and we will do the post game show. The big head of producer and I will be here holding down the fort and answering questions and talking about it. And it's a very important game, I think, early in the year for people to figure out, you know, what's really transpired in this early part of the year without Chris Mack. If they win this game, they're 4-1. They've got a good win, and they're in the championship game down there. They've made the best of this six-game stretch. That would be terrific. If they lose, the people who are all naysayers saying it's been terrible, they haven't been anywhere as good as we'd hoped, they'll have more fuel for that, more fodder for that. So we'll see. But that game, the post game should be on somewhere, around 11:30, I guess, midnight maybe, somewhere around there, I think.
Yeah, it might be a late one.
On Thanksgiving.
And then, okay.
Now, we don't know what we're doing Saturday, though, because, A, we don't even know what time they're playing.
Right.
So it depends on whether they win or lose. But I'm getting the impression that the consolation game is the later game. Because if the championship game is at 12:30, then there's no way they're playing a consolation game at 9 in the morning. So they must be doing the championship game first so they could lock in a TV window, and then the consolation game will be probably just on the internet or something. I'm going to guess, but I don't know. Don't quote me on that. So we'll see. So there's that. So that's so we'll definitely be doing Thursday. Saturday is a fluid situation, I understand, since there's going to be so much football, and there's the football game, and there's the pregame shows, and everything goes with that. So I'm not sure where we'll be, but we'll let you know. But anyway, I'm here today. I won't be here tomorrow because I was supposed to be here tomorrow, but we flip-flopped it, and then I'll be here Friday with Fast Break Friday, and that'll be the last real preview game of the football game for the weekend. So we go here today, tomorrow, the post-game show on Thursday, and then on Saturday, we'll find out. That remains to be seen. Bellarmine basketball comes your way here, and that is today. It's Bellarmine versus Central Michigan. The Knights continue their West Coast trip, taking on Central Michigan in the Empire Classic. See, the Empire Electrons have their own tournament now. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45. Tip-offs at 7 on 93.9 The Ville on the ESPN Louisville app. The Maui Invitational semifinal doubleheader. Oh, that's my guy. Kesty's calling that for you. Kesty and Malcolm Huckabee will be on the call for that. That's nice. 6 p.m. on ESPN 680-1057. That's actually in Vegas this year because of COVID protocols would prohibited them from going out to Hawaii, so they'll be in Vegas for that. But we are on the air Friday. All the shows will be on the air Friday, getting you ready for Governor's Cup. And as we said, the Governor's Cup coverage consists of, well, just about everything. 93.9 The Ville and ESPN Louisville app, 4:30 to 5:30. This is on Saturday, correct? Yes. Louisville, yep. The Governor's Cup coverage of the day of the game. 4:30 to 5:30, Mark Blankenbaker at the Alley. 5:30 to 7:30, the Miller Lite pregame show with Pat Jaggers and Taylor Lynch, live from Caboose No. 5. Around 10:30 p.m., the Miller Lite postgame show with Mark Ennis. 93.9 The Ville and the ESPN Louisville app. Kentucky's on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app, 5:30 to 7:30. The Kentucky Fish and Wildlife pregame show with Strebel, Entz, and Jeffries. The J-Boys, James Strebel, Jason Entz, and Justin Jeffries. And around 10:30 p.m., their postgame show comes your way. So there is a window for us, then, to do a basketball postgame show if they're playing early enough. But if not, my guess is we won't have one, because if they push that game back to like 3:30 or 4, that would mean the postgame show would spill over into the Kentucky football pregame show. So my guess is that's why we haven't had any announcement about that. But we will have one for Thursday. So and if there's a window to even do a small one, we'll do that on Saturday. And this one just in, Verizon Financial Services says your phone payment is due today. Oh, okay.
Well, a little breaking news there.
thought you might want to know that. There you go. All right. What else was of some note I was going to say? Oh, I've got some really good we want to know Wednesdays for Tuesday here today.
Nice. Also, it's Bet Rivers Twitter poll Tuesday. So you might have to put up a couple Bet Rivers. We did this last time. We made it a full tournament, but I want to shorten it. Because I heard Diener this morning. Diener was doing the DraftKings read, and in the DraftKings read, there's a line in there, sweeter than grandma's pumpkin pie.
Okay.
And he was like, well, you know,
that's he's not a big pumpkin pie guy.
Well, he said that his mom makes really good pecan pie, so that's the way it related to him. And so
I would prefer pecan pie to pumpkin pie myself.
Yeah, you're on Team Diener in that one. You're on Team Pecan. So I almost kind of want to put up the poll. We did this kind of last time. I had a couple of Friendsgivings over the weekend.
We had a pie thing. We had a pie. We had brackets. We had preliminary rounds.
We can just shorten it. And I feel like the choices should be pumpkin, pecan, apple, and then either peach cobbler or derby pie. Those are my choices. But
derby, nobody's serving derby pie at Thanksgiving.
I disagree. I was at a Friendsgiving this weekend. You have to understand who we are, where we are now across the country. No,
that would be a better question. Would you serve derby pie for Thanksgiving?
We had two of them. Two homemade derby pies during a Friendsgiving this past weekend that were absolutely delightful. Shout out to Rachel on the Spicy Nuggets kickball team. She made them from scratch. Fabulous.
Did you win any games in kickball?
No, but we got pretty close. I mean, we were competitive. We were competitive.
Did you see the UK at halftime of the UK game last night? They played they had a feature. It was on the SEC network, so they had time to fill, and they filmed. I guess the Kentucky team played a kickball game. Did you see it? It was funny seeing these 6'8" guys running up and trying to bash the ball.
That's hilarious.
It was entertaining. Yeah, it was fun. There were some pretty good kickball players. A couple of guys busted it deep. The problem is you can't hit one over the fence, right? I mean, nobody hits a home run, do they? Nobody can kick it.
There's in the park home runs and stuff. I mean, but it's interesting because it's almost like you took two of those, classic red air-filled, dodgeballs that you had in like gym class.
Yeah.
It's sort of like they shoved.
Is that what you use for it?
Yeah, but it's bigger. So it's almost like they shove two of them together. So because
that's gigantic.
So but it's good because of it being bigger, it's hard to, absolutely tattoo the thing. So
you could make a guy out in kickball by hitting him with the ball, right?
Can't you throw that? Yeah, pegging him. Yeah. So it was put that on the mixtape. Yeah, no, you can definitely, yeah. There were all kinds of rules. Like there's like a rule, like there's a bunting line, and if you can keep the ball in front of the bunting line, you can, it counts as a strike against the other team, and then they can essentially
keep it in front of the bunting line. You mean if the team batting doesn't hit it past the line, it's a strike on them?
No, see that's the thing. Like if they hit it and it's rolling, they try to bunt it, and you run up there and bat it so that it doesn't go past the line.
Yeah,
you don't have to field it. It's just you kind of.
What is it, an out or a strike?
No, it's a strike. But if you, if you
let it roll past, then you got to play it.
Right. But also, if you could strike somebody out essentially by keeping their.
But that would have to be a horrible kicker.
Not really. It's actually kind of.
Three swings, he couldn't get it past the bunt line? That guy doesn't belong in the league.
Well, but it's sort of like trying to. It's like squaring up on a bunt when you have two strikes on you.
But why would the guy be bunting? Just get up and kick the ball like a man, damn it.
Well, you're playing in a co-ed league, and I got to be honest with you.
Stand up and kick the ball like a woman, damn it.
Well, no. There's skill. It's hard. I wound up getting on base more by bunting than kicking because I kept getting under the damn thing. And you know,
how far out is the line?
It's about 10
feet. It's in front of the pitcher, right?
What do you mean the line?
The line that you have to get the ball over in order for it to be in play.
Yeah. That little bunting circle thing. Yeah, it's about like, I want to say, probably about 10 feet from the from the home plate.
Home plate.
And you have to kick behind home plate. That's the other thing. I got in trouble for stepping on home plate and getting out. But I was third base. Oh. And I started being like a man in motion because I noticed this team, a lot of the girls were really, really good at bunting. So I started running the second the guy started rolling the ball to try to get up there because I'm chubby and to keep the ball from going. And I got yelled at by the ref a few times. So
you're not allowed to run before they kick it?
No. So
what the hell kind of rule is that?
No, it's kind of a good rule because it was so easy to keep them from bunting if I started sprinting the second the ball got rolled.
But that's why that's a choice in defense. And if you went up there, then they should try and kick it off your face.
I was kind of thinking that too. And there were a couple times I was like, oh, this is going to end poorly. But yeah,
I mean, you're charging third. I mean, I'm a sportsmanship guy, but you're charging me at third. I'm going to try and drive an in-step drive right at your kisser.
Oh, I mean, yeah, right in the puss. Absolutely. I mean,
not that at all.
The spicy nugs. We were pretty competitive. Lost. We got our doors blown off the first couple games, but I mean, these were like 2 and 3 run affairs. I mean, they were close. They were close.
How many
down
people
the
in the field?
10?
It's like softball. Yeah. It's like four outfielders, that kind of deal.
Yeah, you can have 10 people in the field.
I want to play.
It's fun. I'm not going to lie. It was a lot of fun.
I loved kickball when I was in elementary school, but I don't think I've ever played it since. We might have played it in high school gym class once or twice.
If I could be so immodest, I was definitely one of the best fielders on the team. Probably,
maybe
you know,
a
third
senior
base.
I was a goalie. But I'm used to catching the big ball.
You'd be fantastic at it. Like, but I mean, because I was really good at catching. Like, I mean, I really, really was probably one of our best.
Were you
fielders.
All glove, no stick though? You couldn't hit the ball.
Oh my god! Absolutely. I kept
Eugene
booting
Michael.
It.
Eugene Michael.
There were a couple times like I actually
Mark Belanger.
I tagged it pretty good. Like, I even put a little English on it. I bent it. I was like, there we go. That's going right up the line, baby. And then, I mean, you know, if you put it in the air at all, mm-hmm. and the fielder's even decent, there's a very good chance they're going to catch it. So the few times I got on base were truly bunts up the line. Like I have
a question. Is there a strike zone? Like, there's balls and strikes?
Yep.
You can take a pitch. Where does the ball have to roll over the plate?
Yeah, it has to roll over the plate. But you know, if it's overly bouncy, you know, I feel like I'm still learning kind of the rules. I got to be honest.
You played a whole season. You still don't know the rules.
Well, I didn't know about that in motion rule until like the last game. I got in trouble, and I didn't know that you couldn't line up. So instead of running, I just kind of, you know, scooted up there. And they're like,
you
have to be behind the pitcher. You have to there's a line across the diamond from first base to third base.
Well, it'd be nice if they told you that.
Yeah. So no, I mean it was okay. I mean they didn't, you know, get mad. They're just like, hey, that's cheating.
If the pitcher bounces it, they can call it a ball automatically.
Like if you don't like the pitch, I think you're allowed to. I don't know this for sure because nobody was being a jackass and like bouncing it in there. But I think like if it's I want to say it's like umpire's discretion. Like if you know someone's being a jackass and bouncing it, so it's really hard for you to kick, then you know you don't have to take that
10
pitch.
Fielders, 7 innings. Bouncies are allowed, but it must bounce at least twice before home plate.
Oh, there you go. See, our pitcher, our roller or bowler, whatever he's called, never really bounced it, and I never really saw anybody bounce it.
Strike zone is 1 foot on all sides of home plate and above it. So if you send a bouncy. Ooh, that'd be a tough one. And then again, if they don't time it right and you catch a half volley, you could really bust it. You can throw a runner out, but no headshots. One base on an overthrow, 4 outs, no ghost runners. Okay, so there you go. Play begins when the ball pitcher rolls the ball to the kicker. Once the kicker kicks it, they run around the bases in order, depending on how far they kick the ball. Further kicks will afford the runner. What the hell? No kidding. They had to put that in the rules? I want to go pass first. Can I do that? Yes, you may. You can run as many bases as you can. Hey, that's a cool rule. Yes, that's like baseball, you jackass. If the ball lands in the foul zone, the kicker must try again. The foul counts as a strike. If the fielding player catches the ball before it touches the ground, the kicker's out. If the fielding player manages to get the ball and throw it to one of the players on the base, the runner is going to. Before the runner gets there, he's out. So does that mean... That means, like, if a guy's going for a double, you can just throw it to second and he's out without tagging him? No.
I don't know.
No. But that's a force play. They're just talking about force. They're listing things that are common sense baseball rules. You can get force plays. That's
and also, there was an interesting
rule. But here's
an
interesting one. If any fielding player manages to touch the runner, with the ball. I thought you just had to tag him with your hand. With the ball while holding it, he's out. So it's the same thing as baseball. You can tag guys out.
The interesting thing, though, was if you got the ball to the pitcher... before the person running got to the halfway point between bases, they had to go back. So there was a cutoff line, and the big thing was
there was
a cutoff line from third to home. So you had to rush the ball into the pitcher before that person got to the line, and then they'd have to go back to third base. So it was almost like, the pitcher was home, like base and tag. You had to get the ball to the base, and then, they would keep people from running. So that was, a good strategy as well. And so I don't know if anyone played shifts or anything like that. I didn't really notice. But it was fun. I'm not going to lie. It was a lot of fun. It was satisfying. Pegging people, I'm not going to lie, but I never
isn't the national kickball foundation
never aimed for
here
the head,
in Louisville.
Though. I wasn't a jerk. There is some sort of kick. This was through LXC. That's who we did it through.
Who's LXC?
It's like a Louisville. It's almost like a rival of the Metro Parks Department. It's they do like I think they've partnered with Tin Roof, and they do a bunch of adult sports fun leagues like kickball, soccer. I think they have softball leagues, stuff like that.
World Kickball Association is actually located, of all places, in New York, downtown Manhattan.
There is some sort of kickball thing here. National Kickball Association, the NKA, has homegrown in beautiful Louisville, Kentucky, and hosts kickball leagues and tournaments throughout the year.
I wonder if they're rivals.
Ooh.
Think they're rivals?
With who?
With the one I just read, the Kickball Association.
I don't know.
The World Kickball Association I just read to. You're not listening. They're in New York, New York.
Oh, I thought you meant LXC. No, I know. I heard that part. I thought you meant maybe they were, rivals to LXC. I don't know.
It's an 800 number. We should call it, but that gets Drew Magnus. We're not allowed to do that on the air.
Well, you have to tell them.
I know. World Kickball Association.
Drew's funny like that. He doesn't want us to get sued.
He's such a stickler for things like that. Hey, how about this news? Michael Strahan's going into space. Did you see that?
Man, everyone's going to space.
The former New York Giant Good Morning America co-anchor is going to go on Blue Origin's next space flight. Now, I don't know about this because supposedly they asked Tom Hanks to go on the first one. And he claims he was on Jimmy Kimmel. And he claimed he was interested, but they said, why didn't you go? He said, because they invited me, but they wanted $30 million. He said, I don't have $30 million to go. Flying around space. Do you think is Michael Strahan expecting him to pay $30 million, or is ABC doing it? I can't fathom that. I wonder if I'd like to see if they're going to make him pay for it. $30 million. I mean, he's got money, but I don't think he's got $30 million, does he?
I don't know. Maybe he does. Or maybe it's getting offset by like a sponsor or something like that. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. If you want to text in, Lair Overton's going to join us on the other side. Chick Verona for our weekly Colts update.
What a great game for the Colts last week. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They were on all cylinders. My goodness.
How
about Taylor's game? My God. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five touchdowns.
53 points for one Andrew Sweeney this week.
How many did he get?
53.
Shikes. I take it Sweeney won.
Yeah, he won $140. I think he was playing, was he playing Streeps? I should know.
He got $140, so I still outscored him.
No, he had a heck of a week. And I mean, he had Jonathan Taylor, and I forgot who. Oh, man, he had somebody with, I'm going to say the Vikings. I'm drawing a blank. But he had 40 from that guy and 53 from Jonathan Taylor.
Wow, hard to lose that way.
Yeah, and a pretty solid performance from everybody else. And he still wasn't the highest score. The highest score, of course, was Biscuit, who played me. That was great. But,
I was proud of the boys. The Electrons won without Lamar. Lamar was out, and I had to pick up a quarterback the day of, and he wasn't very good. I don't even remember who the hell I picked up. Who threw the four interceptions? was my guy threw four picks. So I got a whopping 9 points out of my quarterback.
It wasn't Danny Dimes. Now he had what, two last night? No.
It was hold on. It's coming up right now. Everybody's texting, screaming at the phone. You dumbass. It was Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill, they lost to 22-13. Tennessee lost to Houston, which was awful. He threw for 323 yards and a touchdown, but threw four interceptions. So he scored a whopping 9 points. Fortunately, the guy I was playing had Joe Burrow, who only scored 9 points. So actually, Tannehill outscored him by 0.2 points.
Oh,
so, but I got 37 from Justin Jefferson from the Vikings. McCaffrey, again, was brilliant. He got 25. Thielen got, I almost benched Thielen, but he wound up with 22. That was a good decision there. You know who's turned out to be a good player for me? Debo Samuel. He's been having a good year.
Yeah.
And I got him late, so that's worked out well.
Yeah, so and then, Biscuit had him. Yeah, he had a good week.
Of course, I did not play Joe Mixon, which wasn't too smart. He had 24 points on the bench, but I still had a decent game from A.J. Dillon. The Packers scored like 16, so we were all right. Anyway, I digress. I'm very excited, very proud of the Electrons. Very, very proud that they got that done.
Nicky the Boots got two victories post Derrick Henry going down and juggling Aaron Rodgers and COVID protocol. But
oh my God,
unfortunately,
your team's been decimated by injuries.
Yeah, but so we got two victories, and then now we're on a two game skid. And I assume Sweeney
at some point in the show has to go off and demand that Dave Gettleman be fired. I'm sure he, as a Giants fan, that seems to be the company line right now. Because
he was giving some takes in the back about it.
I mean, they're just, it's funny because if you don't see Daniel, and I don't watch the Giants every week, like, you know, I'm sure Andy does. You know, every once in a while, there's a couple of series where you look at Daniel Jones, you go, all right, this kid's going to be okay. And then he does just the damn stupidest stuff for a guy who's played. Oh, my God.
He loves throwing it to the other team. Big fan.
Just awful. I mean, and they're just, they're not good. And they spent a lot of money in the offseason on free agents, and they still stink. New York football is just, other than the Bills, is pretty atrocious. And the Bills are, like, you're as far away from New York as, like, if you lived here and rooted for Purdue. I mean, it's kind of nearby. In fact, I think Buffalo's even further. Buffalo's way the hell up there. So, you know, it's not exactly. So the two New York teams are just awful. So there's that.
A lot of text here, and then we'll get to break and get Chick.
You say that every day, and then you never read them.
Well, because you keep interrupting me. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Neil Kessler here. I started the NKA back in 98, but we sold our ability to run leagues and tournaments to LXC a couple years ago. So there you go. So we actually have the founder of the National Kickball Association.
Oh, a listener. Very nice.
Neil Kessler. So thanks for listening.
But no disrespect. So then what the hell? It sounds really rude. So what the hell do you do?
I'm not sure. Maybe. Well, I mean,
they sold the rights to run the tournaments. I mean, are they out there selling kickball merchandise or something? I mean, what are they doing? I don't get what they'd be doing.
This texter says, I believe it's a smaller field with a bigger mush type ball. That is definitely true. Also asked if I've ever checked out the softball played in Chicago. I have not.
Yeah, I know about that because I played in a league here with a guy who played in it and loved it. I mean, he just absolutely loved it, and I'd never heard of it, and I've still never seen a game. They play, you don't wear mitts, and the ball is bigger than a softball and squishier than a softball. And you play, well, other than that, it's the same. You know, you underhand pitch and you hit and run the bases and field, but the ball is bigger and squishier, and you don't use gloves in the field. And that's Chicago, the best of my knowledge, is the only place that plays it. I don't know any other place that plays that. I know they don't play it in New York. But he loved it. He said, I wish they would play there, and here's my favorite way to play. And he was a good player, this guy, too. I don't know what that's called. There must be a name for it.
Yeah, what's this way of playing?
What do you mean, what's this way of playing? You play just like regular softball, but no gloves, and the ball is bigger and softer.
Those are the only differences?
It's called it's Chicago 16-inch. They're 16 inches big. Chicago softball. And, yeah, I'm looking at guys holding it. It's big. So 16-inch, I guess they refer to it as 16-inch softball.
Hey.
It's played like regular softball with a few exceptions. The ball's considerably larger and a bit softer than a normal softball.
We want to know Wednesday.
The ball is stitched together differently than a normal softball. And, a normal softball is 12 inches. The ball in Chicago is 16 inches. It's a little more difficult to throw, and it's harder to hit for distance. Fielders are not allowed to wear gloves while playing Chicago-style softball. While the ball is large and can be caught with two hands, playing barehanded will punish infielders who have line drives hit at them in the first two innings. That's because the ball is very hard the first two innings, but once it gets hit around for a while, it softens up. That's of little comfort to the first baseman who has to catch a steaming throw from a shortstop who's trying to throw the batter out at first.
Ouch. Oh,
that's terrible. Why would this be fun? Many players suffer hand and finger injuries as a result. What the hell is that? And it's right on the website that advertises the sport, so it's like they're kind of warning people. A batter gets a total of only four swings in Chicago-style softball. If a pitch is called a swinging, if a pitch is a called or a swinging strike, and the second pitch is fouled off, the player gets only one more foul before being declared out. You only get four opportunities to swing the bat, and if you can't put it in play by the fourth swing, you're out. But if the pitcher throws four balls, it's a base on balls. That doesn't sound like much difference. Players not allowed to steal bases. They're not allowed to take leads. They use the strike mat, which they use here. You know that one, the ball's got to hit the mat. Let's see. They start with a 0-0 count. They don't start with a one ball, one strike count like they do here.
We got to get through a break.
If a batter's walked on four straight pitches, they get a two-base walk. Runners on base can only advance if they're forced to. Oh, what the hell does that mean?
Wait, what?
Oh, any other walk with at least one strike is a one-base walk. Okay. That's an interesting game. I've never seen it played, but someday I'll go to Chicago and watch one in action and watch all the people with their mashed-up fingers.
Oh,
like
God, yeah. Jeez, that just sounds brutal.
Like professional catchers. I would wear a chest pad and try and catch everything like a soccer
ball.
Yeah,
you know
catch
what?
Catch it in your chest and hug it.
I think that might be the best strategy. Couple texts right before we get to break. I've played in a kickball league out here in D.C., and it's so much fun. There's actually quite a few rules that are interesting, but overall, I highly recommend joining a league. Your boy was killing it, even with two ACLs, and we won it all. That from former intern Braden.
Good attaboy,
yeah, attaboy, Braden. Good stuff, man. Also, it is rival. I can't say it. It's Governor's Cup week. I can't say rivalry.
Now say rivalry.
I can't say rivalry.
Rivalry. Rivalry.
Rivalry. There we go.
There you go.
It's hard. I have to warm up into it. Okay. Rivalry. There we go. It's rivalry week. Oh, God, it's so hard. Here in in the 502, and we have our official. It's Tuesday. We have our official first L's down text. L's down, Bob. This texter says so.
That's all it says. Is L's down.
That's all it says. L's down. Gotta love it. Lair Overton on the other side.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Let's get right to it because we're closing in on the top of the hour. Chick Verona joins us right now. Lara Overton, part of the Colts broadcast team. And Lara, wow, all I can say is wow. On the road in Buffalo, a good Buffalo Bills team. And the Colts made short work of the Bills 41-15. I know, obviously, just in the overall scheme of things, it's still, you know, it's just one win and keeps them in the battle for a playoff spot. They're still a half a game out of the last playoff position. But that's got to do wonders for this team's mojo and confidence. What's the vibe around this team right now?
Well, not only does it encourage all of, you know, the confidence and reinforces that this is a good football team, but it also really has only made them hungrier. That was the sense I got from talking to Frank Reich yesterday in our weekly conversation. Yeah, and he said, you know, he really wanted to reinforce to them that 1-0 mentality is just as important as when you have a big win, coming off a big win like that, as it was when they were reinforcing that when they had fallen, you know, to 0-3 on the season. I think a lot of people were like thinking that mantra that coach had adopted was, you know, about not dwelling too much on losses, but it's equally important as not dwelling too much on the wins. Yeah, using the good things and using the momentum, but also knowing that, you know, that win doesn't count any more than any of the others, and each and every win is critical to put you in a position, as you mentioned, you know, vying for a playoff spot. And Tennessee is showing some vulnerability at this point. They're coming off that loss to the Texans, and the Colts will have the Houston Texans on the road coming up in just that's their next opponent. So you've got, of course, Tampa Bay this week, their upcoming opponent this week. So next week, you know, you'll have a very motivated Houston Texans team as well. So if Indianapolis can continue stacking wins, closing out the month of November well, and move into the bye week with a couple of wins under their belt, they're going to be riding in very good position come the month of December.
Boy, that Titans overtime loss now is just sticking out like a sore thumb, because if they managed to pull that off, it would be a 5-game win streak. But also because, Larry, I'll tell you what, if the Colts get in the playoffs, they will earn it, because they play the Buccaneers this week, the defending Super Bowl champions. Then, as you mentioned, the Texans, who are just 2-8. Then they play the 7-4 Patriots, the 9-2 mm-hmm. Cardinals, the always difficult Raiders, who are 5-5, before they finish things up with the Jaguars. So of their last, six games, they've got four humdingers in there. So it's not going to be easy. They're going to have their work cut out. They really do have to take it 1 week at a time. I mean, that's not just coach talk at this point.
And one of the encouraging things is, although that schedule is very stacked and the Bills were the first team with a winning record that you beat at this point in the season, you know, you'd lost all the others, let a 19-point lead evaporate to Baltimore, a 14-point lead, you know, that you lost against Tennessee at home. And looking at the schedule upcoming, the Colts are at least getting healthier for the most part. Going mm-hmm. into that game at Buffalo, that was the most encouraging injury report we've had all year. Yes, you have Quentin Nelson, who's battling through an ankle sprain, ankle injury, as is Darius Leonard, but those guys are still out there and playing. And one of the factors that I talked with Frank Reich about this week as well is, never is it a good time to have injuries, but they're also inevitable. So is there a silver lining to the injuries that you've had, notably on your offensive line, and then also at the safety position, in which you lost Julian Blackman for the entire year with a torn Achilles, and then you had Kari Willis, who has the potential to come off IR this week, but he's missed the last three with a calf injury. That gave, in your secondary, valuable reps to George Odom and to Anderson Dejo, who made big plays in the victory over the Buffalo Bills. Anderson Dejo come up back-to-back really solid games. And then also on your offensive line, you've been able to have depth and rotation with Chris Reed and Mark Glowinski at each of your guard spots. So those factors have really helped this team, and I do think that you will be able to rely quite heavily on that throughout this remaining stretch of the season. Because you have two games, you have the Bucs, you have the Texans, you get a bye week. So you have that opportunity to get guys healthier. You know, you had that mini bye coming off of the Jets win, and then you can prepare yourself for that last stretch of the season. Another thing that Coach Reich has really been encouraged with is his defensive lines and the emergence of your two rookie edges in Dio Odengo and Kwity Paye. Kwity made a huge play against Buffalo on Josh Allen with a strip sack, and we're really starting to see him gain confidence as well.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be remiss if we didn't spend a minute or two talking about Jonathan Taylor. Four rushing touchdowns, one receiving touchdown. I mean, most people thought this guy could have a chance to be an outstanding NFL player, but, I mean, this is eyebrow-raising. Five scores in a game. I mean, I guess it's kind of easy to ask in hindsight, did people see this coming? But I guess that is the good way to put it. Did they see this coming? Did they go into this game thinking, you know what, he's going to be our horse and we're going to ride him as far as he can take us?
Yeah, oh gosh. I mean, we have seen the Colts just continue to, you know, feed Jonathan Taylor and, you know, utilize him as the, you know, as that bell cow running back, which coming out of Wisconsin, you knew he had the ability to carry a heavy workload. I mean, putting up just astronomical stats that he did coming out of college and taking him where you did, then putting him behind your offensive line. And that was one of the conversations we heard in the draft room when they were looking at taking, and they did end up moving up to take Jonathan Taylor, was just imagine what this guy can do behind our offensive line. And JT went very committed into the offseason because he was getting better over the course of the month of December. If you look at that game that he played, he had like 200 something yards at home against Jacksonville, you know, week 16 or 17, whatever it was last year. And from that point on, he has never wavered. I mean, there was no kind of ramping back up period for Jonathan Taylor. And the thing that to me was, you knew that Jonathan was going to get production and you knew that they were going to feed him the ball, but you were also going up against one of the best defenses in the entire league, a defensive line that was only allowing like 3.5 yards per carry. by running backs. So this is, I just can't say enough great things about Jonathan Taylor as a running back, as a teammate, as a person. Draws a ton of motivation from his mom, Elizabeth Taylor. I promise you that is her real name. Jonathan's the youngest of five kids, and he grew up with her working overnight to support her kids so she could be at home during the day, be back to get them ready and off to school, be there when they got home for school, and then she would go in and work in the evenings. And she is an incredible woman, and that is where a good amount of Jonathan's work ethic comes from. And if you watch the locker room victory speech from that Sunday game in Buffalo, Jonathan was deflecting all the attention, talking about this is a team win, that, you know, we did it in all three phases, credit to the defense, credit to the offensive line. I don't know that I've been around a guy who plays with such confidence but also exudes such humility at the same time. I mean, he has elite track speed, too. You know, I always know I love to give some acknowledgement to my track and field guys.
Did you ever see him run track? Did you ever cover any meets he was in?
I didn't, unfortunately. Just like my time covering, you know, Big Ten Network, doing the meets, I was not on any of his any of his championship events that he was a part of, but obviously was well aware of him coming out of Wisconsin and what he was able to do.
All right, it's time for the end of the program, and we must bring up food again, Nick. So go ahead, steer me through this. What are we asking? What she's having?
Well, first off, shout out the Bourbon Dan, right? That's what it was called.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, the Apple Dan.
Apple Dan. That's right. Yeah, Apple Dan was a huge hit at the Friendsgiving this weekend. So thank you for that.
Hey, I'm so thrilled I could provide a crowd pleaser.
Oh, there was not a drop left. So it made the crock pot cleaning a little easier. But everyone was very happy with that one. So we're having a debate today about what the best Thanksgiving dessert is. And we kind of narrowed it down to pumpkin pie, pecan pie, apple pie, and maybe like peach cobbler. But do you have a favorite, and do you like Derby pie? Because that was actually the dessert brought to one of the Thanksgivings this past weekend, and that was also a huge hit.
Okay, so I have to preface this by saying I'm not a big pie person. I don't like crust.
That'll work against you in eating a pie, yeah.
And I also don't like gooey fruit. It kind of weirds me out, like in a cobbler or in an apple pie type of thing like that.
So it's not a taste, it's a texture thing. It's a texture thing.
It's more of that weird goo that's in there. Does that make sense? Like, it's not an actual slice of the fruit.
It's not a weird goo. It's just...
So when I eat pumpkin pie, I scrape the filling out, and I load it up with equal parts pie and Cool Whip, and that is how we're actually pie filling, equal parts pie filling and Cool Whip, and that's how I consume my pumpkin pie once a year. Derby pie is okay. It's a little nutty for me. There's a lot happening with that, but I every year, every May, I'll go for two or three forkfuls of it to get my fix.
Okay, fair enough. What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Favorite dish? Just dessert? You mean anything?
Do you have a favorite dessert? But also, if you have, are you a stuffing? Or I didn't know that it was also called dressing until like a couple of years ago.
Aren't stuffing and dressing technically two different things? Because stuffing really, like, it's supposed to come out of the turkey, what it was stuffed with. But like dressing is just a side dish.
I don't know, maybe that's the case.
Looking it up right now.
I always thought when someone said, can you pass the dressing for the turkey, I was like, why are we eating this with ranch? I mean, I'm not complaining, but like I always thought it was actually like salad.
Dressing depends on how you make it. In the most technical terms, Lara is right. Stuffing is stuffed literally inside the cavity of the turkey and cooked there. Dressing, on the other hand, is roasted in a separate vessel like a casserole dish, which is the preferred method for food safety experts. So there you go.
How about that?
I'm not only dropping football knowledge, guys. I am also dropping the side dish knowledge as well. I'm just your Renaissance woman, I suppose.
All right. Well, you never answered. So what'd you say your favorite dish was? Did you say that and I wasn't
favorite
listening?
Favorite dish for me, sweet potato casserole, hands down.
Ooh. Well, there's a. Do you like it with the marshmallow on top or not?
I pretty much like it with anything on top. My mom is incredible. She does one with marshmallow topping and one with like the crumbly, crunchy kind of topping with like
cornflakes. Yeah, because I just saw a recipe online the other day with you make the mashed sweet potatoes and then you bake them and then you take it out and then you put two different types of crushed nuts on the top with a little sweetening agent too.
Yeah, that's kind of how she does it.
And then you put it back in and bake it again. That one looks good. I think I want to try that one. So
that's what she does. She does one of each because we have different preferences. So I always try both because her sweet potato casserole both ways is exceptional. But I lean a little further towards the crunchy topping more so than the marshmallows. But hey, never met a marshmallow I didn't like. I'll say that too.
All right, very good. So we've gotten drinks, desserts, main dishes, side dishes. She's covering the whole menu here on the Lara Overton Food Network. All right, it's good to talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Take care.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. You too.
All right, there she goes. She's off, and we'll come back. We got all sorts of news for you, not as always on
Mark
the show.
Mark
Schlabach. Not always related to sports, but Mark Schlabach is related to sports, and he'll join us next, and we'll talk with him here on ESPN 680 1057.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.